At 8:22, this is KERA News. I'm Sam Baker. There were a few primary victories and upsets in North Texas last night. Angela Paxton won the Republican bid for the District 8 seat in Collin County. Democrat John Cruzo will take on interim Dallas County DA Faith Johnson in November. Interim Dallas County Sheriff Marion Brown will do the same against Republican Aaron Meek. But three North Texas legislators lost their primaries. Dallas State House members Jason Villalba and Roberto Alonso, along with Wichita Falls State Senator Craig Estes. North Texans will decide some congressional primary runoffs in May. Democrats Colin Allred and Lillian Salerno will vie to challenge Republican incumbent Pete Sessions. And for outgoing Congressman Joe Barton's seat, Ron Wright and Jake Elzey will square off for the GOP nomination. Jonna Sanchez and Ruby Faye Woolridge are seeking the Democratic bid. Now, the Dallas County Party Chair said Democrats had a good night last night. Carol Donovan said many new Democrats ran for office, especially women.
Right now, Dallas County is blue. It's been blue since 2010. During my term as chair, we have broken records right and left. We have more candidates than ever before. We have fielded someone in every single race. There's always room for improvement, but we're doing pretty darn well.
But Republican Congressman Pete Sessions is not worried about a so-called blue wave. He said it's a thrilling time to run for office in North Texas.
Quite honestly, I'm energized as these ideas are being kicked around, not just on the Republican side, but the Democrat side.
Statewide, about 2.5 million people cast ballots in this primary. That's about 17% of registered voters. Now to breakthroughs. The debate over government access to personal, private information took center stage after the 2015 mass shooting in San Bernardino, California. Apple refused to open a back door into an assailant's encrypted cell phone for FBI investigators. The agency ultimately paid a hacker to unlock the phone instead. The National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine has produced new guidelines for government agencies to consider before approaching or investigating encrypted data. Frederick Chang heads SMU's Darwin Deason Institute for Cybersecurity. He's also a member of the National Academy of Engineering and former director of research for the National Security Agency. He talked with KERA's Justin Martin about the new guidelines.
First off, why make this report? Don't federal agencies already have a set of laws they have to follow for these sorts of things?
As you notice in the report, we basically posed a framework that is comprised of 8 questions. And I think it would be fair to say that rather than specifically seek answers to the questions, the process of working through the questions will help inform the debate. So the questions were designed in a way to create some considerations and concerns about the various options and trade-offs that might be possible.
Sort of to make it easier for lawmakers or anybody's involved with the process to have a better understanding of what they're facing.
Yeah, this is a complex issue with lots of technical details, important policy implications that could affect millions of users, millions of devices. And as a result, the details really matter. Our hope is that people read it and sort of understand the nuances and the details so that they will make a better decision when that time comes.
How exactly were these guidelines drafted? Who was involved in the process?
The committee itself was composed of 14 individuals. And the 14 individuals came from quite a diverse background. And they represented folks from the technology sector, from law enforcement, from privacy and civil liberties, from academia. So when the National Academies composes a committee, they work very hard to make sure that there is sort of the proper balance of perspectives and so forth. And the result is something called the consensus study. And what that means is all of the parties involved, all 14 of us, have to agree on something. This debate is quite polarizing, and it's been in the media for a couple of years now. And so when you have people with pretty diverse backgrounds having to agree on something, it was, I think, quite an accomplishment on our part that we actually could get this group of 14 people with diverse backgrounds to agree on a set of facts, to agree on a vocabulary, and to agree on the framework.
One of the guideline questions, I think, question 3, basically asked the government before accessing private or encrypted data to carefully consider how their approach to accessing encrypted data might affect the privacy, civil liberties, and human rights of the affected. I have to imagine that that would be one of the toughest things to consider.
That sort of gets to the question of any time you have a particular decision that you made and you decide to move forward on some mechanism, then you ask the question, well, what if the mechanism goes wrong? And some technical measure, some technical mechanism, what if it goes wrong? And in that particular case, there are certain values we hold dear about protecting privacy and civil liberties and so forth. To what extent, if something goes wrong in some mechanism, would now there would be some unintended consequences of surveillance that you just nobody expect would happen, and that might kind of act against a particular value that the nation holds dear, that the government holds dear, which is privacy and civil liberties.
What's the ultimate goal for these guidelines? You know, what does the committee hope that they'll achieve?
Yeah, so the report itself does not land on any particular side of the debate, but we hope we've been able to advance the debate by, again, having some consensus from a wide group of folks about a set of facts, about some vocabulary and this framework that, you know, that we've all agreed on.
With your experience, what would you consider as the most preeminent issue with concerns to cybersecurity today?
It's really a topic that changes constantly. The sorts of attacks that you saw last year and the year before and what we're going to say tomorrow and the year after is just constantly changing. So it's really important to sort of stay current with the technology. It changes so fast. It's something that kind of keeps you on your toes. And I've said for a while that the problem's going to get worse before it gets better. And unfortunately, that is proving to be true.
Frederick Chang, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
High near 57 today under sunny skies, 42 degrees now in Dallas and Fort Worth.